Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. This winter, Strategic Farm Marketing is holding risk management seminars near you. A complete list of meeting dates and locations can be found at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the January 17 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Our panelists for the day include Greg Ginder. He's at Chesterfield, Missouri, and with FC Stone in Morton, Illinois. Chip Nellinger joins us from Blue Reef Agri Marketing. And from Hudsonville, Illinois, Sherman Newland is with Risk Management Commodities. Let's begin with this question. Thursday, the market moved pretty sharply in soybeans to the upside, but for most of the day, it appeared they just didn't really know why, or much of the trade didn't know why. Do we have any good reasons for a move in the soybean, Sherman Newland?
It was all rumors. I started out this morning with a few notes written down for the day's show, and by noon, I had wadded those up and threw them in the trash because the market had rallied pretty good in about half an hour. We rallied about 18 cents in beans. And about 6, 7, 8 cents in corn, and about a dime in wheat on rumors of China buying wheat was the start of it. And then it came out that maybe there was some corn rumored into those packages. And then it was rumored that maybe it was a 2-year deal that China may be, you know, going with here shortly. And then there was another rumor later on that the United States may lift tariffs to help expedite the trade talks, which was later they came back out and said they had not said anything about lifting the tariffs. But the other rumors could be true. But that the wheat market took off, and then the beans came along with the ride and so forth, then on with the corn.
So rumors have been buy the rumor, sell the fact as it relates mostly to what the commodity markets have done. Let's set those aside because we won't know what the Friday trade has done when we get to this program on the air. But I want to know, maybe Greg Ginder, from you, when you look at the export market across the board, across the planet, what do you see for soybeans as it relates to Brazil, the United States, Argentina, and the imports from China? I think I did see a number that said even the Brazilian imports had almost disappeared going into China for the last month or so.
Right, yeah. What we've been seeing here as of today's numbers is the Brazilians are certainly the cheapest beans in the world. Right now, we're just kind of waiting to hear more information as to what kind of amounts were to expect the Chinese to have bought. Preliminary numbers are somewhere that in the first batch it was about 3.5 million metric tons. I would expect that to be echoed in this rumor potentially as well. So with that being said, it's been a good day after a few weeks of cold temperatures and cold markets. We've started to warm up a little bit here. So the other thing that I have been watching also is the delay in meal market, the Chinese meal market. It has been on a steep decline, which I can only attribute to the swine flu problem that they have over there in the Chinese stockyards. So If that's another thing that we're keeping a real close eye on. That's a concern as far as the meal demand goes worldwide, and so goes meal, so goes beans. So we're just we're keeping as close a finger on the pulse of this thing as we can. It's not all doom and gloom, but it's certainly something that needs to be monitored on almost a daily basis.
Well, Chip Nellinger, as Greg mentioned, African swine fever has played a role in China. I think maybe to what, the tune of about 900,000 head that may have had to been eliminated to this point in time. But this is a nation that has the more than half of the hogs in the world in that one area. This probably isn't a large amount in the grand scheme of thing, other than they may be a large amount, well, at least in some of the larger facilities along the coastline. What do we know about African swine fever there? Very much at all?
Well, we know that it's definitely a problem where they have that, and there isn't seemingly much control of that yet. The big fear is that spreads. So obviously it's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, in the very short run, you have that issue that cuts meal usage and feed demand. But in the big picture, to keep those supplies up, they're going to have to repopulate those herds, and they will rebound. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. But I think something also that plays in this, too, is they've been pretty vocal. I'm talking about the Chinese government and saying for a while, we want to cut, our meal and bean usage. And it may just be a long-term strategic move that is exaggerated a little bit by this swine fever issue. But I think that they strategically are going to try to go to different feed rations, maybe more DDGs. In that, with them building up their ethanol capacity. And it's just maybe a long-term strategic issue where they're trying to consciously cut back on their soybean usage a little bit, just exaggerated by the swine flu thing.
I want to know about demand in Brazil itself, because they were able to export their whole, what appears to be their whole crop out, but they didn't have a huge spike in soybean prices, and it didn't appear their bases jumped either. Do we know why that's the case?
Yeah, I think they do export quite a bit of their crop out there. So, you know, especially since China's not been buying from us, they've been buying more so from them. So I think, getting it to the market, you know, that's always been a little bit of a problem with their road situation and whatnot. But overall, I mean, I think there's a problem out there with their bean supply.
Right. So they probably clearly were short of beans at the end of the year. I saw some data from a company called Clipper Data that suggested, and I talked about this early on in one of the questions, that the Chinese import of soybeans was really down in the last month. That may have been a lack of supply and availability out of Brazil. Now that supply is building back up, Craig Ginder. What I want to try to make a case for is, now that the soybean crop is coming on in Brazil, you've got a large carryout left in the United States. It is a large carryout in the United States. It looks like the next 6 months just could be a load of beans, period, across the planet, and that could be difficult.
There are several somewhat distressing things that we see in the cash market. One of them is, despite all the news and all the press that these new Chinese purchases has stirred up, the values at the Gulf have not indicated that there is any sort of shortage of beans that they need to fill these orders. Now, granted, most of these are going out to the PNW, but there is generally kind of a flow back that you will see with basis appreciate when grain is needed in a certain direction and pulled from others. What we were hoping to see is CIF values increase. Right now they're running somewhere in the 20s. We were hoping to see it maybe move up into the high 30s and 40s. We just haven't seen that. Whenever we've started to hear some of these sales be made, we have seen a little bit of an appreciation in the values at the Gulf. But for the most part, we have not seen the push to try to buy in any short positions. So they are either sitting on a lot of length that they can lay off into these sales, or what they're doing is they're kind of playing defense. They're a little bit concerned that maybe some of these sales will end up being an option origin and will be flipped down into the Brazilian markets, say the Februaries or the Marches that they may have sold into China. That's a real concern. And we've been doing our best to try to figure out what levels it would take in order to get those things done. But it's right now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to come out of the U.S. with as cheap as the Brazilians are. So there is a substantial concern that despite these sales that are supposedly coming out of the U.S., there is a very high probability that a lot of them are offshore origin and will be moved down into the Brazilian market.
When do you think that might happen?
I would expect to see some of that starting. I would expect maybe the end of January, beginning of February. So that's what I don't want to see it, but that's the time period that we would start to see those start to surface, those option origin switches.
Chip Nallinger, do you have these same concerns, or have you thought about other things that are bearish fundamentals for the marketplace?
Yeah, I've been concerned about beans for a while for that very reason, that there's plenty of beans in the world. There's plenty of beans here domestically. It does appear that the Brazilian crop and probably even the Argentine bean crop are both shrinking a little bit. I don't think it's disastrous, but Argentina is just too wet, flooding, and that's pulling their crop yields back a little bit. I think the Brazil kind of flash drought, if you want to call it that, hasn't seen too much improvement, and there's not much rain in their forecast for the next 10 days. They're kind of, you know, clock ticking on the last of their crop. So I think that, you know, maybe that big supply has shrank just a little bit. But even if the crop size in Brazil ends up to be 111, 113, 114 million metric tons, something like that, that's still a fairly sizable production. And even though Argentina may be going backwards a little bit, it's still going to be well above a year ago when the drought hit them. And so the point is, there's a lot of beans in the world. If China, due to trade agreements, purchase our beans and it doesn't switch to option origin, we're going to lose the marginal business that we picked up from being cheaper. So yeah, it'd be great. We'll get China back. But since Brazil will be so much cheaper during their harvest, they're going to pick up all the incidental business that we picked up here over the last few months. So it's kind of a big jigsaw puzzle. But overriding this is there's still a big supply of beans. And that doesn't mean they can't rally a little bit, but we better have a plan and be diligent from a producer standpoint and being ready to lock that in, whether that's sales, some puts, some way, shape, or form, to be, you know, fairly aggressive at locking the downside risk in new crop beans here.
Sometimes I feel like that I might guide you guys to be too bearish a marketplace with my questions. Is that the case for you today, Sherman Newland?
That you're too bearish? No, I mean, there's some definitely some, you know, you look at all the fundamentals. I mean, everything that Chip said, I mean, you can't, is 100% correct. I mean, the fundamentals are bearish out there. But, you know, we don't know how big crop is going to end up being in South America. So that's keeping a little bit of a bullish tone underneath this market. I guess from my chair where I'm sitting at this, I mean, these are all known. So the market knows all this stuff, all the stuff we're talking about. It already knows it. It's already there, and still we're at these prices and beans rallied, you know, 13, 14 cents a day. So either the trade's thinking, you know, there's some bullish things coming around the bend, you know, maybe it's something to do with China, you know, some sort of big trade deal, you know, and we get a run up, or maybe the weather in South America is going to end up being worse than what, you know, guys are thinking, and their crop shrinks more down there. So I'm not as bearish as, you know, maybe per se as everybody is. With that said, I mean, I'm, you know, looking at the charts and got to pick some points out there to start selling. So, you know, I'm not all doom and gloom yet by any stretch, but I'm kind of waiting to see how some of this plays out with China willing to be patient. I mean, you know, today was just some rumors and you saw what the market did, you know, maybe if we can get some confirmation with China, you know, you can have a buy the rumor, sell the fact time type of trade action, you know, and you'll want to have some orders sitting up above the market to take advantage of that.
Well, let's hear about some of the points you have picked to see just exactly where you stand on this marketplace for old crop soybeans.
Old crop soybeans, I mean, if you take a look at some of the charts, you're looking at the 200-day moving average is 926. We're not that far from that. I mean, you can and get on up into the retracement levels into the 950, 960 zone. I think at that point in time, if you're sitting on old crop beans, you probably need to be, you know, getting rid of most of them at that point. So somewhere up in there, if we can, you know, reach some of these highs or hit some of these moving averages that we've been looking at and get kind of back to the overbought conditions that we watch, I definitely would be making some sales. Same way on new crop beans, you got some 970 area, 960, 970 area. I think you got to take a look at that. I mean, we've hedged some beans up in there a couple of times by selling some calls and buying some puts, and some guys have shorted the board. And we've taken those back off, and we've actually done that a couple of different times now. It's worked out pretty well for guys. So, you know, I think there's some areas you have to look at, and those are, you know, where I'd be taking a look at making some sales. In particular, you know, like I said, that 970 area in the November beans, I think that'd be a pretty stiff resistance right now. So I'd take a look at that.
Greg, what about you? Do you have some points that you're looking to make cash sales for old crop soybeans still?
Well, for the old crop soybeans, I am short-term friendly, long-term bearish. So what I'm looking at is to get something done sooner than later. I believe Sherman was right on this technical spot, but I think those are spot on. I mean, over time, let's say the next week or two, as long as we keep March soybeans above $9, we got at least a shot to hit those 930s, 940s. Maybe even 950 on the board if we get a little bit of help. If we leak out below $9 and we keep leaking, then you change the technicals entirely, and it switches from a bullish trend to a bearish trend, which nobody wants to see. I would say in the next 2 or 3 weeks, unless we see you know, these prices just sit still and not do much, just consolidate, I'd be pretty aggressive on this old crop. Just you gotta move something. You know, if guys are sitting back, kind of hoping or expecting trade deals to be resolved and government shutdowns to be resolved, I think it might be a little too optimistic. I think guys have to kind of take the thing by the horns here and just go ahead and swallow hard and sell what needs to be sold.
Yeah, I generally agree with those target levels. I think on old crop, and I agree with Greg that I think it's kind of short term here, next 2, 3, 4 weeks, you know, ahead of the gut of Brazil's harvest is kind of the sweet spot. And generally, I think Sherm kind of hit the nail on the head with some of those target levels. You know, you get March beans up into that 930, 940 area, I think a guy really has to be letting loose of some. New crop, you know, we've had a couple chances just shy of 970. I think if you haven't done anything there, you have to at least do something there. I like the 985, 990 area if we would see that in new crop beans. But I just, you know, overall, I just have a fear of this big supply of beans that we have. With or without China, there's a lot of beans in the world. And, you know, obviously that can change with the weather problem here, but I think beans have to be the first priority and, you know, be more aggressive at, you know, on the bean side. And if you're early and beans do rally more than expected, it's just going to drag corn higher and give us a better opportunity there.
Well, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about corn. USDA, of course, did not give us reports last week. We don't know what the quarterly grain stocks numbers look like. We don't know what demand is in that feed and livestock area and what's on hand still, though the idea, I think, is that there's an awful lot of corn in commercial and on farm storage. What do you think, Chip Nellinger, that producers should consider with old crop corn, given that we have what looks like not a horrible carry out there?
Yeah, I think it's much the same. In the short run, there is a good supply. I think that's kind of hindered us here in the month of January. If you saw some grain moving, basis backed off a little bit. It started to perk back up. So, you know, at the underlying all of this, we kind of all gave some excuses on why the market rallied sharply today. And it may just be, part of it may just be good commercial demand was uncovered on the break earlier this week on Monday. So, you know, I think corn has good demand. I think on the old crop, you know, certainly on March, if you would see anywhere 385 to 390 on the March here in the next 2-3 weeks, you have to be using that as an area. Whether that's, you know, immediate sales or there's still really good carry in the market, maybe that's May or July hedge to your rise is more than enough carry to pay to hold that grain, you know, in your own bin. So 385, 390 is kind of my my target here on the March corn. 412 to 415, Dece 19, I think you have to be starting lightly with maybe a 5-10% sale. And then if we'd see up closer to 4.25 December 19 futures, you have to get a little more aggressive.
Sherman Newham, do you have targets for old and new crop corn sales?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much in line with what Chip was saying, almost to a T. I mean, you got a 200-day moving average of 389 on March corn. That would be a place that we haven't been to for quite some time. I think if we could get up in that, you know, like he said, 385, 390, maybe 395 if we could get there, I think you probably need to take a really hard look at making quite a few sales for old crop corn. You know, and I think we're going to have some help to get there, whether it's China news or more drought in Brazil to carry us forward to get to those levels. But I think if we get there, you know, you're going to be running out of reasons for this market to keep pushing higher. And same thing with, like Chip said, with the Dece corn. I got standing orders at 414 and 424 basis to December to make some sales, probably around 5% on each one of those targets. And it seems to me like we can probably get there. I mean, something we haven't talked about for new corn is the fact that we may not get that huge acreage increase that everybody talked about earlier. I think I've talked to some guys personally that are going to go more beans. It still pencils out better for them with beans. I mean, the cost of inputs have went up in corn. So, you know, I think you're going to get increased acres, but more so in that 1 million to 1.5 million, maybe a 2 million bushel bump. But a lot of guys really aren't chomping at the bit to plant a lot more corn with the inputs being higher.
Yeah, so that could play into the marketplace. Greg Ginder, I want your old and new crop corn advice here, too.
Well, you know, the government shut down when three guys are talking about technicals on corn. I will say, the previous two definitely covered about as well as could be expected on the technical side of the corn. It's really tight. I mean, it's just, we're talking about nickels and dimes here, not quarters and dollars. So, I mean, that's a perspective a lot of people have to take away from some of this stuff. When we, just kind of a recap here on Tuesday, when we broke down through 377 on March, I thought this thing was cooked. And then here we are again, we've worked our way back up north of 377, which was the bottom end of the channel that we've been running in, this kind of very mild bullish channel. So that the technicals are consolidating. You've got the resistance on its way down and you've got the support on its way up. So at some point in time here, something's going to have to give. I mean, we're at or getting near a tipping point in the technical picture. What I'm hoping to see is I'm hoping to see that breakout to go test $4. And I think we'll have that. I think we'll see it. It's not too far away. We're only talking about 20 cents here on the nearby. So as we approach that, I think that will get a lot of attention. And I think we just we need to be very aggressive when we get up there. I've got guys that are working on $4 December futures. And as we go up, we'll continue to put more on. I think it's just a wise idea to cover up this $4 as best as possible and then play the basis game from there.
Greg, how are U.S. exports of corn holding up? This should be the time of the year that we normally would begin to ship out more corn, mostly because our export business would have been full of soybeans in the fall. But I'm wondering how we're doing today.
So far, so good. We haven't, obviously, we haven't gotten any real substantial data over the last 4 weeks, which is disappointing. But I think corn has a good fundamental picture. I think it has a very good base. Beans are quite a bit shakier, but corn,
I think it may be very narrow ranges that we trade in, but I think they're well defined, and I think it's I think it's going to be definitely the least concerning commodity out of the two. And guys just have to remember some of these yields that they got out of the field this year. I mean, $4 corn is not a bad problem whenever you have 50% more corn. So I think that's the takeaway that one has to kind of look at.
Given the ending stocks, what we think is in the bin commercially and on the farm, are you wary about the June, July, August time frame at all?
Well, I don't think we're going to run out at all on corn. Now, we are tighter than we've been for quite a while, so you could be looking at some good basis plays out there. But, you know, I think that's knowing what we know today in January. If we, to Sherm's point, if we don't plant the acres, and I totally agree with that assumption that everyone thinks on corn, we run into some sort of a hot spell in June, July, then things could get really... You can't say that we're going to run out necessarily, but there could be some issues out there that could make the summertime frame very interesting and important.
Let's get a final word from each of you now. Chip, I'll start with you, please.
Yeah, well, I'd say the final word is, you know, be patient. It's been frustrating with the lack of news on the China front and lack of, you know, government reports and crop reports because of the government shutdown. But I do think that being patient will pay off here over the next 2 to 6 weeks, say between now and the end of March. But we got to have a plan and be ready, willing, and able to reduce risk exposure and start selling the rest of old crop and getting a really good base on new crop production on that rally over the next few weeks.
Sherman Newland, your final word?
Yeah, I agree with these guys. I think I'm going to be a quicker seller of beans, especially old crop beans, as we push higher, if we can get to some higher levels, and then follow up with some good corn sales, especially if we can get in that $390, maybe $4 old crop area, because there's still a lot of bushels out there. We're not going to run out of corn bushels. Have some targets in place, kind of the same way on new corn. If you can get close to $4 cash for new corn, I think you got to lock in at least 20% of those sales at that level. And in the same way with beans, I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive on new crop beans, whether it's through futures and options or cash sales. The closer we can get back to 970 and maybe even that 980, $10 level, if we could happen to get there on some weather scares.
And Greg Ginder, your thoughts?
Yeah, my final thought is just with regards to basis, and that goes with old and new. Obviously, we're not in the field, so we don't have a good read on what potentially we have coming out of the field. But I have this suspicion that basis will stay somewhat weak going all the way into new crop. I know that some people are out there looking at 25 and 35 and 40 under on new crop corn, but I think the past has shown us that that can get worse. So let's just keep in mind that we have a lot of old crop bushels that we have to chew through. Everybody's got corn for sale and beans for sale. And as those bushels come to the market, if the pipeline isn't big enough, the basis will restrict the flow of grain or the price to restrict the flow of grain.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may listen to the whole of our program online anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. Greg Ginder of FC Stone in Chesterfield, Missouri. And Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.